Well, we are still looking this Lenten season at the burdens we're carrying around in our overstuffed lives. We're asking what burdens we can release, not just a toothbrush, not just a pair of socks, but bigger, heavier stuff. We've looked at the burden of busyness. We've looked at the burden of being self-absorbed. We've looked at the burden of pressure from others. This week, we are joining Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. These are Jesus' final moments of freedom before he is arrested and faces eventual crucifixion. Given the gravity of the moment, how does Jesus spend his time? What does he say? What is he feeling? If you are able, please stand for the reading from the Gospel, Matthew chapter 26. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." Going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, Jesus came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. My betrayer is at hand." This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Many years ago, when I had the chance to go to Israel, we spent a good amount of time, actually, in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a deceptively peaceful garden today, with olive trees that are hundreds of years old. In fact, it's possible that they were the same trees that were there when Jesus walked the earth and prayed in this garden. And not too far away is a church that is built around a giant rock. It's called the Rock of Agony. And according to tradition, it is the place where Jesus threw himself to the ground to fervently pray as his crucifixion drew near, the text we just read today. I've shared before some stories that the holy sites in Israel don't always feel super holy. Many times it's kind of like a cross between a tourist trap and a museum. But we were lucky at the Rock of Agony. There weren't that many people there, and so we finally had a chance to sit and reflect in a holy spot and for it to actually feel holy, at least for a few minutes, until the renovation crew came back inside, climbed the scaffolding, and resumed their hammering. Bang, bang, bang. Feeling holy yet? Bang, bang. Bang! Don't they realize how inconvenient this is? Bang! 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 And that's when it happened. Suddenly, I had an image spring to my mind, an image of a different kind of hammering and different nails. The image I saw was of Jesus being nailed to the cross, and suddenly I felt the jolt of every ping of this renovation crew's hammers. And suddenly I realized that the true victory of our faith actually happened before the cross. The true victory of our faith happened in this garden, maybe right there on that rock in front of me. The true victory in our faith happened when Jesus decided not to escape. When Jesus decided to let himself be crucified. When Jesus decided that there was no other way to reunite us with him. When Jesus said in his prayer, "Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want, Father." That "nevertheless" was the moment. Everything else was just that decision playing out in painful reality. But in this garden, With that, nevertheless, that's when the choice was made and the victory won. One of the top Christian songs right now talks about this approach by God. It's called Reckless Love by Corey Asbury. And it says, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, and leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. That's what happened in this garden, maybe right there in that rock. There's a funny thing about holy places and holy moments. Do you remember when what God told Moses, when he found God in the burning bush, God said something very particular. Do not come closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Now, what does that mean? Why did God tell that to Moses? He told him that because it means Moses wasn't worthy to be in God's presence. That was the second thing I experienced in that holy moment in that holy garden. For after that holy moment passed, after that vision of the crucified Christ, after I realized I was standing at the place of victory of our salvation, after that, I remembered what I had been thinking just a moment before, stewing on how inconvenient it was of this renovation crew to be interrupting my prayer with their hammering. My inconvenience seemed a little trivial sitting next to the rock of agony. We're talking this Lenten season about, you know, being unburdened, releasing the things that weigh us down, the big stuff, the heavy stuff. Let me give you two burdens you might be able to release. The first is the burden of convenience. Have you ever thought of convenience as a burden? Well, if not, let me ask you, how much time have you spent in the last month worrying about your preferences, worrying how to make things nicer for you, worrying that something is going to be inconvenient? And what could you do with that time if you had it back? Is there anything important you're not doing because you're too busy? Or what if you stopped worrying about how convenient life is and used that time to do something more important? Could you actually fit in the time to pray and listen to the creator of the universe? Could you actually fit in time to seek God's will? Could you actually fit in time to do God's will for you? Could you fit in time to show those around you that you love them? The time you spend worrying about how convenient things are or how inconvenient things are, that's a burden. I've shared before that in middle school, I was so shy, I wouldn't even go ask for more ketchup from the Burger King workers. And several things helped me change that. But one of the biggest was to release that burden of worrying. You see, my mom's side of the family has a unique genetic gift, an innate ability to imagine every possible way things can go wrong in any given circumstance. And I have those genes within me. I think it's a sign of how smart we are. I think so. And I use this gift to imagine every possible way that even a simple social interaction could go wrong. I imagined every way that I could be viewed as dumb or annoying or clueless. And yes, I can imagine ways for the Burger King workers to think a middle schooler asking for ketchup is being annoying and clueless. After all, what if there was actually a station just right behind me that had some ketchup in it and then I went and asked them? Or what if they actually put it in my bag already and I just missed it? So for me, it was actually life-changing to release that burden. I thought it would be mighty inconvenient if others thought of me as annoying or clueless or foolish. So for me, I had to say, nevertheless, I can still imagine how everything can go wrong. It's genetic. But nevertheless, I keep going. How are you worrying? How are you worrying what others might think? How are you worrying about how things could go wrong? Worrying about how inconvenient something might be. Tell that worry, nevertheless. Release the burden of convenience and live your life anyway. Do what's important, not just what's convenient. That's a large, heavy burden. The second burden you can release is the burden of attitude. When I had that holy moment at the Rock of Agony, several other moments passed through my memory, not just that little inconvenience of the hammers, but also all of my little proud martyr moments. You know, I stayed late to help someone who was depressed, even though it messed up my schedule and it was inconvenient. I had the patience to work with an irrational youth parent. I had to work so hard to get the church's finances in order. How inconvenient. What a martyr I am. Suddenly, those little proud moments didn't seem worth that much, sitting again next to the Rock of Agony. And I realized that I had been using convenience as a barometer for faithfulness. Whenever I was following God and it happened to be inconvenient, I had two ways of approaching it. Either A, I would complain about it to God in prayer, or B, I would do it anyway, but then pat myself on my back for my faithfulness. But next to the Rock of Agony, next to Jesus's nevertheless, I didn't feel like I deserved too many of those pats on the back. Maybe the bang, bang, bang of those hammers needed to crucify my pride at how I had allowed myself to be inconvenienced for Jesus. But don't get me wrong, most of those inconveniences were actually serving Christ. Many of them were actual examples of faithfulness, but my inner attitude, whether griping or proud, not so faithful. The time and energy we spend griping about our inconveniences and the energy we spend patting ourselves on the back, the energy we spend wondering if others should be patting us on the back but aren't, all of that time and energy is the burden of attitude. And it's awfully hard to hear God in the midst of all that attitude. Psalm 51 says, "The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." The attitude that God can use is a broken and repentant heart, not a proud, self-congratulatory one. So where are your inner thoughts being a burden to you? Where is your attitude being a burden to you? Wherever that is happening, tell those attitudes nevertheless. Release the burden of attitude. All you need is a broken and repentant heart, not a heart that has stored up all the reasons God owes you for the inconvenience he has caused you. When he was just 5 years old, Jack Hoffman was diagnosed with pediatric brain cancer. And he got to meet one of the stars on the Nebraska football team named Rex Burkhead. Sports fans may recognize that name. Now, how many college seniors are thinking about the kids with cancer in their city? And how many of them are willing to endure the inconvenience of going to the hospital? But there Rex was, meeting kids like little Jack, and Rex went a little further than most, though. How many college seniors who are on their way to the NFL would bother to get Jack on the field during a spring game? And we're not talking like on the sidelines, you know, with like some Nebraska gear, like a hat and a jacket. No. He was on the field in uniform, and a play was drawn up for him. And 69 yards and one touchdown later, Jack Hoffman was a star. And from there, the family started a foundation, Team Jack. They've raised more than $5 million for pediatric cancer research. Jack became quite the story, and how many people have been helped from that? But no one envisioned that at first. At first, it was just a college senior and a few others doing what they thought was right. And it's been able to continue in part because the much more famous people in this story, like that football player who's now in the pros, they were happy for this story to be about Jack, not themselves. That's what can happen when you release the burdens of convenience and attitude. When we do something inconvenient but important, God works wonders. Jesus saw the pain in front of him and declared, "Nevertheless, in the garden." And because of that moment, we found salvation. That Nebraska football player saw the inconvenience of hanging out with sick kids and declared, "Nevertheless," and Team Jack was born. So where is your nevertheless? what is inconvenient but important. If you were standing next to the rock of agony with Christ, what would he have you do? And what burden would he have you release? Amen.